Jelly Roll Morton and Tom Roberts is here. Tom, what do you suppose the year of that recording is?
1926. Oh, Mr. Larry.
Ah, he knows it. He knows it. And we're also going to welcome Jonah Winter. Good morning, Jonah.
Hi.
Nice to have you with us, too. Jonah, I want to... Hard to talk over this. It's so much fun to hear.
Almost feels like sacrilege.
Yeah, it does. What a great sound. And I want to just start talking with Jonah. What got you interested in picture books?
Well, it was, in a certain sense, it was the family business. My mother is a very celebrated children's book illustrator and author. And years ago, as in 25 years ago, she actually heard me reading this poem, which was sort of a fake book report that was from the point of view of a misinformed, illiterate 13-year-old boy. My mother, God bless her, is a wonderful and smart person, but I don't think she understood that it was a joke. I actually have that the original poems that I wrote with me, these book reports, but if we might get on and get to a point where I might want to read a couple of those, but she asked me to write the text for a picture book biography on Diego Rivera, and this was in 1991. This was before picture book biographies were even a genre. Now it's kind of a big thing. There's even separate sections for it in the Barnes and Nobles and various places, and. So I wrote this book. It did very well, and I had been working in publishing at the time as a children's book editor, but I wasn't making enough to really even do more than pay the rent. So after publishing this book, I was sitting there on my birthday, not having enough cash to even buy myself lunch. I was eating a plate full of dried wonton noodles that an office mate had given me. And And as I sat there dipping these in the little duck sauce that I had kept in packages in my drawer.
Free.
As my salt tears were making the dried wonton noodles soggy, I thought, you know what? I'm going to become a freelancer. Yeah, I'm going to move to San Francisco. I'm going to join a band. I'm going to write children's books for a living.
From the root word free, making it seem like very attractive.
Hey, freedom's just another word, ..
So let me back up a little bit. Tell me about your mom.
My mother her name is Jeanette Winter, and she's published. She also writes picture book biographies, and she's famous for a few of them. She just came out with a book on Malala, the Nobel Prize winner, and she wrote a book called The Librarian of Basra, which was very popular. She takes on cutting-edge recent news stories and turns them into picture books for really young kids.
Now, you were raised where?
In Dallas, Texas.
That's what I thought, and you don't sound like a Texan. You probably could if you wanted to.
I tell you what, old timer. Well, it is a conscious decision. I can turn it on and off when I want to.
And how did you find your way to Pittsburgh?
A long and winding road.
Yeah.
Well, my wife Sally and I, we were living in Brooklyn at the time, and we were stuck in a traffic jam on the West Side Highway, as it was still called back in those days.
And this was back when Brooklyn was not necessarily a choice, probably, or maybe it was.
It was a choice, all right.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. You could choose to go into deep debt for a tiny studio apartment, or you could buy like a three-story house in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But so after we decided to do a survey of cities beginning with the letter P, and after ruling out Philadelphia, Poughkeepsie, Peoria, Providence, and a few others, we landed on Pittsburgh. And we knew some people here who were in the arts, and that was a draw. And it's a pretty place.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And Tom, tell me. First, you have the Jelly Roll book with you.
I'd love
to see it.
Absolutely.
And while I take a look at it, Tom, tell me how you guys met, and just a little bit about Jelly Roll from your perspective.
Well, how we met? We've actually been Are we on air?
Yeah, I think we need to get Tom's mic up a little, maybe.
Let's get the mic up a little bit.
A little bit.
I think my voice check doing a Sasquatch voice was perhaps the issue. All right. Jonah and I have actually, and Sally, we've actually been within each other's periphery without knowing it for, I don't know, 20 years? 20?
I was going to say, you can back up a little bit. You know it's bad when somebody says back up from the mic, and they'll say how far, and I'll say, do you have your keys? that's good.
But we've been within each other's periphery for many years. When they were living in Brooklyn, I was living in Harlem, and I was playing with Vince Giordano's Nighthawks. I didn't realize this until we were hanging out last week, that Sally used to come into the Cajun, where we used to play, and would sing with us. And I was much, much heavier than I am right now.
Huh.
And so that's why they didn't recognize me.
But I can't imagine you as heavy.
Oh, my God. I was sick at that point. But enough about my weight.
But you were playing in a wonderful band, the Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks. That was our favorite band in New York. We'd go practically once a week to go hear them play. In fact, we had our sort of AirSats rehearsal wedding dinner at the Cajun.
That was you guys. Oh, my. I remember that. So, but we've been within that periphery. And then Larry knows this, and maybe a lot of the listeners know this. I do a silent movie series at the Hollywood Theater in Dormont. And Jonah has come to see many of these events, and he has introduced himself to me on several occasions. And we have mutual friends, the sculptor James Simon. And now we're gaining and joining forces to try to educate the city of Pittsburgh about the wonders of Mr. Jelly Lord.
Yes, Jelly Roll Morton. This is a beautiful book. It's Jonah Winter's words, illustrated by Keith Mallett. When you write a book like that, the collaboration with the illustrator from illustrators I've spoken with can be very unusual. Does he live? When did you write that, first of all?
A couple years ago, and I have never met the illustrator.
That's what I was going
to
ask.
And this illustrator, in fact, the publisher likes to keep it that way. I mean, there are many instances where through children's book conferences, I've become friends with people who illustrate my books, so they can't keep us apart at that point. And then it's, you know, then we have these author illustrator private discussions all the time. But then, no, the publisher would prefer it that the author and illustrator never had anything to do with each other, because they don't want, well, it's sort of sensible, they don't want the author telling the illustrator, no, I don't like this picture, that's not what I had in mind, or the illustrator saying, you know, you need to change this piece of text, I just don't think I can illustrate that. The editor is sort of the mediator. But there was one instance where I was very thankful for this. Well, my mother and I have collaborated on a couple of books, and we collaborated on one on Hildegard von Bingen, the great 12th century composer, mystic, and migraine sufferer.
Oh, I knew that.
You know, for kids.
Yeah.
She didn't want any. She didn't want any references to God in this book. But this woman was. She was a nun. My mother did not.
Okay.
And so she tried to have a private discussion with me about this. And I asked my editor to intervene. Obviously, you know, he can't keep, you know, a mother and son from communicating with each other. But I've never met Keith Mallett. This is the first book he's ever illustrated. It's a beautiful job. He lives in San Diego.
I don't know if you know John Manders.
I don't. No.
John is a very successful picture book illustrator who lives in Franklin, Pennsylvania. Hmm. And he was telling me about how he has not met his writers, and very similar to what you're telling me. And it's fascinating to imagine collaborating with somebody like that.
Perhaps, Larry, you cannot introduce the two of these gentlemen.
Yeah. I could bring them together by keeping them apart.
That's absolutely.
So you decided Jelly Roll. How come? Sort of unsung, or you just felt people needed to know more about him?
Well, I was introduced to the music of Jelly Roll very early in my life. I grew up in Dallas. Bohemian artists, wolves for parents, and they knew a lot of artists who were a lot of really interesting people, including this artist named David McManaway, who did this sort of assemblage type art. He made these things that he called Jomos, and Jomos were these sort of a rearrangement of the word mojo, and they're like these art objects that are imbued with sort of like magical powers, kind of like almost voodoo objects, but they're also they had very funny juxtapositions. And like, for instance, I have one of his little artworks, little sculptures. It's a little porcelain doll, like from the Victorian era, that has a little cap on it that he found. Like, he just would find junk and put them together. And it was a little cap that had bunny ears. And then he took a red plastic cocktail pick and sort of created a hole in her and put it sort of straight through the center of her. And it's just this wonderfully funny and powerful and magical thing. And that was the world that he lived in. And that was a world that also Jelly Roll Morton really fit quite comfortably into. And I would go to his house and he would play me these LPs of Jelly Roll. And it was just magical, and I kind of went into a trance and had never kind of gotten out of it. But he also played the New Orleans Rhythms Kings, but I really fell in love with the Jelly Roll at a very early age, and I just decided, my job is basically, I have a pretty fun job. It's introducing to little children my favorite people, and introducing people who adults may not always think would be appropriate for children. But my attitude is kids can handle a lot more than adults often give them credit for. And also, if you introduce good music to children at an early age, then guess what? They'll have good taste, and their lives will be more enriched. And so I know that Jelly Roll Morton has enriched my life, and I wanted to share that with children.
That's Jonah Winter, the picture book author, Tom Roberts, who I always like to say, internationally renowned pianist.
Absolutely.
And raconteur. I always had the and raconteur, which is a good thing, last I checked. Could you honor us with a read of your book?
Absolutely.
And Tom, we happen to, it's kind of like the Steve Allen show. We just have Tom sit at a piano.
I'm just sitting here waiting.
He brought a piano, or we have a piano for him. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you. And I want to talk a little bit, we'll talk about some of Jonah's other books too, but I'm just going to turn it over to these two gentlemen right now. Tom Roberts, piano, and Jonah Winter.
How Jelly Roll Morton invented jazz. Here's what could have happened if you were born away down south in New Orleans, in the land of dreams, a long, long time ago. Let's say you had a godmother, and she put a spell on you because she was a voodoo queen. And let's say that when you were a baby, your godmother brought you to an old saloon and sat you down on top of the bar, which is not a place for a little baby. Let's say that some trouble broke out, and she got arrested and thrown in jail, and you got tossed in the can as well. And let's say you just wouldn't stop crying unless all the roughnecks sharing your cell commenced to singing, because music was the only thing that calmed you down. And let's say one day when you were a little older, you sat right down at a black piano, and you commenced to play. And you learned to play so well that soon you were playing with grown-ups, sneaking out when the evening sun went down, playing in bars surrounded by lowlifes and dangerous people and folks who loved to hear you play, and making more dollars a night than you knew what to do with. And let's say you stayed out so late one night that the night turned into day, and who should see you coming home but your great-grandmother who'd taken you in when your parents had died. And let's say she asked you where you got your fancy suit. And when you told her where you'd been and how much you made your money, she told you she wouldn't have no low-life musician living under her respectable roof. And let's say, as you wandered away, kicked out of your home, still just a kid, with no place to go, you started crying so deep inside that the tears would not even fall. And only one thing, just one thing in the world, could make the crying stop. And that is why, and this is how, a thing called jazz got invented by a man named Jelly Roll Morton. Leastwise, that's what I thought I heard Mr. Jelly Roll say. Sing it. I thought I heard Buddy Bolden say, "You're nasty, you're dirty, take it away. You're terrible, you're awful, take it away. I thought I heard him say, I thought I heard Mr. Jelly Roll too, saying, I invented jazz in 1902. It was me who invented jazz, 'cause it sure wasn't you. I thought I heard him too. If you'd been Jelly Roll Morton, you would have known that the only way to rise up and fly away was one piano note at a time. One piano note at a time, you'd show the folks in New Orleans who was the best. You'd show the folks in New Orleans how it was done. Jazz, that is. What you'd need is a recipe, as if you were making a great big pot of Creole gumbo stew. The recipe for jazz. You take a town called New Orleans. You turn up the heat with some African beets. Throw in some shrimp and crab meat too. Sausage and okra, and watch it stew. Spice it up with a dash of Spanish melody and island rhythms, calypso syncopation. Then stir those reds up with the blues. This ingredient's very important. Toss in a mess of just messing around and a pinch of laughter and a teaspoon of symphony and a whole big bunch of symphony instruments till you got yourself a ragtime band. And you take that ragtime band on the streets for a potluck parade of high-stepping, low-down, horn-blowing, spectacular ramekas. To make this stew, you need a very good cook. In the darkened corner of the room, lit by just a stained glass lamp, Jelly Roll Morton begins to play. And all those different sounds get blended together into one sweet and spicy flavor. Smooth, bluesy, something special. The rose in the bottle, the moon in the trees, the twinkling melody that blows in the breeze. I'm Alabama bound, I'm Alabama bound. If you like me, sweet baby, you've got to leave this town. Mr. Jelly Roll trucked on down to Mobile, Alabama, and trucked on up to Chicago, Illinois. And then he commenced to ramble and ramble, showing each and every poor soul that he met how jazz was supposed to be played. And everywhere he went, it was like he waved a jazzy wand and cast a voodoo spell of Jelly Roll magic. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. And to tell you the truth of it, maybe Mr. Jelly Roll didn't invent jazz, not exactly, 'cause it took a lot of cooks to make that stew, but he sure did spread it around the towns. And when his rambling days were through, the magic spell remained. And sometimes in a darkened corner, lit just by the glow of a stained glass lamp, you can still hear Jelly Roll's piano playing. Oh, didn't he ramble? He rambled all around, in and out the town, rambled all around. He rambled all around. Oh, didn't he ramble?
Jonah Winter sharing his own words and illustrated for radio by Tom Roberts. What a great book, and what a great read too. How long did he live? Do you know?
He lived till the age of, I think, 54 or 55. We don't know exactly because his birth date is not known for sure. He claims to have been born in 1885, and he died in 1939.
It's
far too young. It was avoidable. He was broke by the end of his life because he'd been cheated out of his royalties by all the sheet music companies. He could have died a wealthy man, but he didn't.
Yeah, it's and that's probably true for a lot of those guys of that era. And
guys from this era too.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Do people ever request that you do biographies? Like they think, you ought to do this person, or you ought to do this person, or my kids. I'd love my kids to know about so and so.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, I figured.
Especially when I've visited schools around here, they're always requesting hockey player biographies.
No, I was thinking of Fats Waller.
Fats Waller. Well, that's a he's on my short list. Believe me, it's
fun to listen to. I mean, Tom, you. Do you remember when you learned about Jelly Roll?
I was a kid. I was probably in fifth grade. What was it? Probably about 19 years old in fifth grade. No. I was, I had discovered ragtime music when I was in fourth grade, and it was just so magical. And then I just started exploring. I went to libraries. I got books. I found all these wonderful things. And naturally, I started hearing these references to Jelly Roll Morton, and eventually I found that was very difficult to find these recordings.
Oh yeah, I was trying. I'm glad you brought some down today, because I was looking pretty hard and could not find much.
That's because there's no stores anymore, Larry.
Oh, that's true.
But it was very difficult to find music growing up here. I grew up here in Pittsburgh. There were no record stores that had these things. But eventually I started finding these recordings, and I made a connection personally between what I heard Joplin doing. And Jelly was kind of throwing so many amazing things, and it sounded as if he was playing a band all by himself. And lo and behold, that is exactly what he did. Within the pieces that Morton plays, and this is what makes Morton so remarkable and maybe the first, and probably the first jazz musician, he would throw in the sound of trombones in his left hand. He would imitate a whole jazz band all by himself. So whereas, someone like Scott Joplin would have done something on the lines of rather straightforward, Jelly would have. He would make it and then throw in all these. Trombone players coming in, little clarinet trills, and would make a jazz band come out of just a piano all by itself. And it was like, yay, this is something that really makes me excited. So I really tried to, the very first person that I tried to emulate was Jelly Roll Morton. And then from there, just as Jelly Roll Morton's music infected other musicians throughout the United States, I got infected by those same things. So then I kind of moved into Fats Waller and James P. Johnson and Earl Hines and discovering all these things. These are all things that I discovered that all grew out of finding Jelly Roll Morton at a very young age. And this is why I agree 1,000% with Jonah. If you expose kids, sounds like we're exposing them to a virus. If kids have the opportunity to see great art, to see great movies, silent films, the films of Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, all these things that are just really remarkable stuff. And if they get a chance to hear really wonderful music, and if they have this opportunity to discover it on their own, then they will become, I think, better people.
You're preaching to the choir with me. We have a choice. We could play The Wiggles, or we could play Miles Davis, and kids will dance to both if the right choice is made. And I know if I were a parent, who I would rather have my son or daughter dancing to, I think. They can find the Wiggles on their own if they really
want to. I don't even know who the
to.
Wiggles are. I'm glad I don't.
I do. Yeah, we have a lot of nephews and nieces. Yeah. And, we have been exposed to the Wiggles.
like a virus. As a virus, of course. Yes.
Here's the thing.
Wait, are we going to get sued for saying this?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, go ahead.
This is public radio. Nobody sues public radio because they're is no okay, reason. There's no money.
Yeah, there's no money.
there's no assets. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. That was Tom Roberts. Jonah Winter is here too, as his wife Sally. We'll talk with her in a minute, perhaps. But Not to keep you in a corner. I'm sorry. We can talk to you right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Viral. Things go viral, which is a good thing when something goes viral. So we need a better word than viral.
Bacterial.
Well,
no.
Bacterial.
No, no, no. Okay.
You know, you want something, you know, we want it to go rainbow or, you know, something. Viral is like a plague.
Nova.
Or something. Nova.
Rabbit.
Yeah. Or
yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, rabbit, I like. You know, we could say spreads like wildfire. Never mind. There, it's hard.
Weeds? No.
Weeds?
No.
We need positive. We need Let's positive see. Imagery to, yeah.
Like laughter. Laughter. They laughter. Say is infectious.
There you go.
There you
Jonah,
go.
Jonah, you should be a writer.
You know,
have you ever
I
thought about
I
this?
Thought. I've thought about it. I'm working on it. I'm
All right, you've got it. A way with words. You should think about this, making this your career.
Okay.
Yes. So I found, I found the song that we were talking about before on the Monongahela Sow, was it, CD? That you, is that
Monongahela, Monongahela Sow and her Allegheny Playboys, which is basically me, Sally, and our friend Christopher Jones, who now performs very different kind of music, and just he leads a band that's, I think, just called Christopher Jones.
Yes, I know Christopher.
You know him.
He's performed here. If it's the same Christopher Jones, I think it is.
The one and only?
The one who speaks more than one language.
Exactly, yes. the French professor who used to play professional basketball in Portugal.
Yes.
That's the one.
Yeah. you think they're the same guys we're thinking of? Because I know a Christopher Jones that is really tall and speaks French. But you don't know. Common
it
first
be,
name, common last name.
It could be anybody. It could be anybody. Yeah.
But there are a lot of guys walking around with these characters.
So Monongahela Sow, a composition by Robert Schmertz, a great, you know, I'm sure you must know that. So tell me a little bit about, there's a song on this CD that is relates to Josephine Baker? Or
yeah, it's called Pretty Little Baby, closer. And it was her signature piece. And it was the song that she would bust out when she wanted to get around other people's ideas of what she was. She was a wonderful comedian. And, she did a lot of burlesque-type stuff. But then she would sing this song, and it was so lyrical and so charming and so lovely that everyone who had decided that she was just a comedian now saw her as this fantastic, soulful singer.
See, that's something, just like we were talking with music intended for kids as opposed to simply music, there's a lot of people conclude that folks are always of only one genre or of even worse, only one mood within that one genre. And somebody, Fats Waller, made me think about that right away, who's one of, you know, I was exposed to Fats Waller when I was four by a mom who played Fats Waller on the piano the time. And you listen to Fats Waller recordings, and he could be funny, he could be serious, he could be
sweet and lyrical.
And so for Josephine Baker to, like, do all these things and then to come out with this song, should we listen to it, or does it tell me what to do with it? Because I found it. We can play it.
Absolutely. I think that would be the next logical step.
Well, why don't we play it? We'll figure out what we're going to do next. Yeah. I think I've got the right one. And Sally, is this you singing?
This is me.
Is this it?
That's not
the song. Okay. I only had a few choices. Let's try this one.
That's not it.
Okay. Hang on.
That's a nice one too.
Isn't this fun? Where I was just going by their relative lengths. Okay. Now there's only five songs on the CD,
and I've got to get it right.
I've blown it twice.
That's it.
Beautiful, marvelous, simply adorable baby. Like a rose that's kissed by the morning dew. Gorgeous, marvelous, give me some more of old baby. one in a million. That's just what I think of you. Pretty little baby, everybody knows. Pretty little baby, I love you. Sweeter than the flowers, you're mighty like a rose, and you're my little angel from your head down to your toes. Sweeter than the honey we get from the bee. Everyone who knows you thinks so too. What's the use of crying when there's no denying? Pretty little baby, I'm in love with you. Pretty little baby, everybody knows. Pretty little baby, I love you. Sweeter than the flowers, say, you're mighty like a rose, and you're my little angel from your head down to your toes. Sweeter than the honey we get from the bee. Everyone who knows you thinks so too. What's the use of crying when there's no denying? Pretty little baby, I'm in love with you.
Sally Denmy, along, or Demney, Denmy. I got it right. Denmy. Then me, then you, then Sally. You sound, oh, there's more of you coming there, too. You sound great on that.
Thank you.
Tell me about you, your background.
Oh, my goodness. By day. No, I won't start that way. But
come a little closer to me here.
Sure. I have a background as a singer, yeah. As I hope that proved. I've done a lot of opera. And now I'm doing a lot of directing operas, which is tons of fun because I get to figure out how I want the whole thing to look.
So these talented people, when you're walking through Dormont, Pittsburgh, wherever, Bellevue, and you never know who might be in your midst,
that's
which
right.
is a wonderful thing. And Christopher Jones doing a little nice jazz strum in there background, which I'm not accustomed to hearing from him. And who played the clarinet? Why, the writer. Jonah Winter playing clarinet, too. A threat, if there ever was one. And yes, I see you've got a Betty Goodman book. That was written with your mom, it looks like?
She did the illustrations, yeah.
Oh, nice. So your mom illustrated as well as wrote?
She started out doing just illustrations, and then now she pretty much writes most of her own books, except she is illustrating one of mine right now that I am not at liberty to speak about. I mean, I could tell you, but...
No, we've already made the Wiggles mad today. So, but has your mom ever illustrated her own writing?
Oh, that's mainly what she does.
How do they keep her apart from herself? If you're joining us, we were talking earlier about the firewall kept between illustrators and writers.
I think that's only a problem if you have schizoid personality disorder. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Well, that was beautiful. And did you do Monongahela Sow on this release as well?
No, we didn't.
Okay. But,
a little bit about how that was recorded. It was actually recorded in Christopher's living room.
It sounds great.
And we did it just like they would have done back in the day where that song was popular. I was right next to the mic. Christopher, I think, was just behind me. And then we had Jonah in the next room.
Just Just like Louis Armstrong.
Just like Louis Armstrong.
We had like to kind Louis of spread Armstrong out. For the King Oliver Jeanette thing.
Yeah, because these were the days before multi-track recordings.
Well, I've got a lot of Dizzy Gillespie here, and you've got a book about Diz, too. I don't know if there's a song of his that you would especially like to hear.
Let's see. There are two that I have often used as a background for this book. One of them is Night in Tunisia, and what's the one? Is that the one? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Is that? That's Round Midnight.
Round Midnight. Round Midnight, and
at least that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I meant. But you know, anything would probably work. I mean, if this is going to be it's going to be a little bit of a mood changer. But something I would say from his early days. You know, something kind of not. Like we're talking like late 40s or something like that. If you can find Night in Tunisia, find Round Midnight.
Yeah, I've got Night in Tunisia, and I'll bet by the time I'm through here, I'll have Round Midnight if I look a little bit better. This has Melt Jackson playing along with him. This might be a newer arrangement.
Okay. As long as it's one of his slower, more quiet That's usually what I start out with.
Let me look in one more place. Isn't it fun to make? We're making. Everybody's talking about maker fairs and maker movements. We're making radio here, right in front of you. And let me. Oh, this is a much better Night in Tunisia. I'm glad I did it because this one has Bud Powell, Max Roach, and Mingus in it. I think this is much more what you're looking for.
Great.
Once again, here's Jenna Winter, and what's the name of this book?
This is just called Dizzy.
And, before I start, Tom, do you play trumpet? Because we could just forego.
You know what? I actually did play trumpet, but I've given it up because it gave me bad breath, and it was very difficult to talk to ladies afterwards. So that's why I stick with the piano.
That's a good reason.
It makes a total sense. Here is Jenna Winter.
And I would like to play Soir en Tunis, a night in Tunisia.
This is the story of one real cool cat who must have been born with a horn in his hands, judging from the way he played the trumpet. But to tell you the truth, he wasn't born with a horn in his hands. He was born very poor and very tough. Other kids used to beat him up because he was small. He liked to pretend it didn't bother him at all until one day he just couldn't take it anymore. He got mad and he got even. He whooped the living tar out of some big bully, and before you knew it, he was fighting all the time, fighting and fighting. Just for the sake of it. There was no rhyme nor reason to his fighting. He was mad. He was always mad. You see, his dad was always beating on him, and there was nothing he could do but try to be tough and try not to cry. Then one day, his music teacher gave him a trumpet. He picked it up and blew that thing as hard as he could. That felt good. He took all the anger he felt inside and blasted it out through the end of his horn. It was really loud. He didn't care how it sounded, which was pretty bad at first. He just kept playing and playing, day after day, until he no longer felt the urge to fight. His dad still whooped him, but with every blow he got from his dad, he blew his trumpet that much more, until he was roaring. He was soaring. He was the best musician in his little southern town. Soon that got boring. Playing notes on a page is what he learned to do, but what he wanted to play was a thing called jazz. All over the radio, jazz was the rage. In jazz, you took a melody and played it all different ways. You made up stuff and changed every phrase. It was crazy. If a melody was like a rule, jazz was like breaking the rules, like inventing new rules. Jazz was like getting in trouble. It was fun. For the boy with the horn, fueled with a fire that burned with every whooping, jazz was like a fire extinguisher. It was cool. For the boy with the horn stuck inside a podunk town in the deep south where white folks put you down, jazz was also like a ticket on a train to better days. So he boarded that train and moved up north to a place they called Philly. Right off the bat, he got a job in a jazz band and started acting silly. He'd fall off his chair, kick his feet in the air, flail around willy-nilly, play practical jokes on various folks. On certain nights, he'd elbow the piano man off the bench and play the keyboard with his left hand and the trumpet with his right. The older musicians, They soon got tired of these shenanigans. They wanted him fired. Not a chance, said the boss. This kid's a whiz, even if he is a little dizzy. Dizzy, said the trombone player. Dizzy, said the drummer. Dizzy, said the rest of the band. And even when Dizzy was a man, that's what he was called. He didn't mind. This fit into his plan, you see, to stand out on the bandstand. But Philly was small time, and Dizzy got bored, so he caught the next train to the town so nice they named it twice. New York, New York. It was great. What a place. It was crazy. Like jazz, sort of. Like Dizzy himself, except even crazier. There were cars honking and everyone talking all at once in different languages, people laughing, people shouting. New York broke all the rules. Just like Dizzy, just like jazz, it never went to sleep. People were up all night playing music and dancing. And there was Dizzy, horn beneath his arm, soaking it in, the rumble and the roar of the A-train and the brass and the saxes and the drums of the jazz club. And there was Dizzy, up on stage with the best jazz band of them all. Still, before long, he was, you guessed it, shooting spitballs and clowning around, making funny faces, faking football passes behind the back of the band leader while the dude was trying to sing, partly to get a laugh, but mainly to get noticed. You see, Dizzy knew he'd have to do something really special to get noticed in this band. That's why, when it was Dizzy's turn to stand up and play, he played weird-sounding notes. He played so high, he played so low, he played so fast, he played diddly-diddly-bop, the biddly-wah-wah, the bleep. He puffed his cheeks out like this. During breaks and after the show, Dizzy'd be up on the roof with some other hepcats, teaching them this and that, you know, how to play Dizzy, how to play notes that no one had used yet. Here's the thing. Dizzy knew that sooner or later he was going to get fired for being a clown. But he didn't care, because he was proud. Because somehow, somewhere, the man they called Dizzy had come up with some not-so-dizzy ideas on how to change jazz into something new. And after he lost his job, oop-bop-shabam. Like a preacher, he spread the word of his new jazz rhythms and chords in late-night sessions and late-night clubs where folks would sit, not dance, and just listen to the zee-bidi-bop, zabooey-dee-bop-bop, ziddly-beep, ziddly-bop, de-blap-de-blop, de-boot-de-boop-de-bop-de-bop-de-bop. It was like he had taken a wrecking ball and smashed in the house of jazz till the walls came tumbling down. And in its place, he built a new house, the House of Cool Jazz. Soon his whole name was up in big letters on the sign outside. Dizzy Gillespie, Dizzy Gillespie on top of the world, going, 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 ziddly dibby dibby hiddly on his horn. And then if he ran out of notes, he'd say, bebop. That's what Dizzy called this crazy kind of jazz that he had invented just by having the courage to be himself. Until the very thing that had gotten him into trouble so much, being a clown, breaking all the rules, had become the thing that made him great, his ticket into jazz heaven, where, on certain nights, Dizzy Gillespie still shoves the angel Gabriel out of the way and shows him how to play bebop.
Jonah Winter. Hooray is right.
Hooray. Do you know, Larry, what I'm really touched with all of these books and the things that he's discussing, this really reminds me, you know, I'm sure this guy is one of your heroes. I know he's ours. Fred Rogers. Oh. You know, and the stuff that Mr. Rogers said, you know, speak to kids. You know, they know a lot more than we expect, but we also get in touch with the emotions. And this is pretty great stuff. And the other thing that I'm really amazed with, like, here we are. We know about Jelly Roll Morton, but we know about Dizzy Gillespie as well. All of these little genres that are generally considered not compatible, They're the same thing. Oh, yeah. Music is Mexican food. At least Mexican food at Chipotle or like Cordoba. It's just slightly different. It's just slightly different things that you put together. But I love the fact that you're kind of evoking this whole gestalt of Mr. Rogers. Mm. And he's a good, damn, you guys are great.
Oh, he's one of my heroes. Absolutely. Yeah.
It all fits. I mean, it's, I said this early this morning and we were talking a little bit ago about how people can really accept all sorts of music types. You know, there's no reason to assume these moods within genres, within subgenres, and that's all that you're going to listen to.
Chris Christopherson wrote a good song about that. Well, I can't say the title of it on the air, but you may know about it.
Well, one of the ways I look at it is the radio programmers these days, you know, call that your target audience. Last I checked, I don't want to be a target. You know,
that sounds violent.
The whole purpose is to hit a target.
Right.
We only got we only have about 50 seconds left as our network leaves us.
Let's tell the folks about where the event is going to take place this Tuesday.
I was going to say this Tuesday at Mount Lebanon Library. What time?
At 7 o'clock.
You can see Tom and Jonah together, and you'll hear them together again Saturday mornings, I hope. Let's do this again.
Great.
Tom Roberts, piano.com, jonahwinter.com. And I hope we'll do it again.
I hope so, too.
This is fun.
Thanks for being with us, and we'll look for you next week on the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on Community Radio.